We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
About letting scientists like those who are here today do their jobs, free from manipulation or coercion, and listening to what they tell us, even when it's inconvenient. It is about ensuring that scientific data is never distorted or concealed to serve a political agenda, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
That's President Barack Obama announcing yesterday the federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with, two members of the President's Council on Bioethics, Richard Hurlbut, Robert George, and then here in the first 10 minutes of the program today, this Tuesday, March the 10th, Dr. Gilbert Mailander, also a member of the President's Council on Bioethics, will be talking about President Obama's announcement yesterday. Issues, Etc. comment line will come up in about 10 minutes. We'll be playing some of your comments from our Issues, Etc. comment line. Open 24 hours, 365 days a year for your comments, questions, criticisms, suggestions. And then we'll review an Ash Wednesday sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. And we'll do a little sermon review. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or TalkBack at issuesetc.org, TalkBack at issuesetc.org. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Gilbert Mailander, chairman of the Department of Theology at Valparaiso University in Valparaiso, Indiana, member of the President's Council on Bioethics, and author and editor of several books, including Bioethics, A Primer for Christians. I began by asking him, what specifically has changed with yesterday's announcement?
Well, the first thing to say is that we need to be clear on what happened. He didn't and couldn't lift a ban on federal funding for such research because there wasn't a ban on it. In fact, the Bush administration had specifically approved federal funding of research on some stem cell lines. So the issue was not that. The issue was whether federal funding could be used for research on stem cell lines newly derived from embryos that were destroyed. And so that's the most obvious thing that's changed, is that now federal funding will be used in a way that encourages destruction, further destruction of embryos to derive more stem cell lines. I think the more important thing, probably even beyond that, is that it's pretty clear to me that the research for which funding is going to be sought is often going to involve cloning. If you look at President Obama's comments, he clearly ruled out support for what he called reproductive cloning. But that's not what the researchers want to do anyway. They want to clone embryos to produce disease models, which they will study, and they will then destroy. They won't implant them in a uterus or gestate them. So we're well on our way to supporting federally, with federal funding, supporting research cloning, I think.
Do you think that the president is aware of this distinction without a difference of what's usually called therapeutic cloning and reproductive cloning? Do you think he is aware of the fact that in both cases there is cloning of human embryos taking place? The only difference is whether or not the clone is permitted to survive.
Oh, sure. I think he's aware of that. He's a smart man. He understands that. Yes, I think he's aware of it, and like a lot of people, isn't really worried about destruction of embryos, whether cloned or otherwise. He might be worried about implantation and gestation of a cloned embryo, but that's a different matter.
So why wouldn't he simply say, as he did yesterday, I am against and never will be for reproductive cloning. However, cloning for research purposes is exactly what I'm intending to open up funds for in this executive order. Why doesn't he just come out and say, I'm in favor of research cloning?
I can't read his mind on that. I think that the general strategy of advocates of embryonic stem cell research has been to emphasize the desire to use so-called, you know, spare embryos, leftover embryos from IVF procedures, from in vitro fertilization procedures, because there's a general perception, probably correct, that that's more acceptable to the public at large than using cloned embryos. So one emphasizes the desire to use those leftover embryos as a way of getting started. But that, I think, is not, as I said, that is not what the researchers really really want to do.
So what do you expect to come of this? Where do you think the money will flow when it begins to flow? What kind of research specifically?
Well, I don't know for sure. And, of course, I'm not a scientist. They're in a better position to say. But, I mean, one thing is that there's been a lot of progress just in the last 2 years on finding a way to produce what are called induced pluripotent stem cells, which seem to have all the capacities that embryonic stem cells have, but have the great moral advantage of not being derived from embryos that are destroyed in the process, and may well be, in fact, more usable in a lot of ways than embryonic stem cells. Now, I don't think that all the researchers who've started working on that are necessarily going to drop it, so I'm not sure that everybody's going to rush to, embryonic stem cell research, but those that do, I assume that what they're going to be doing for the foreseeable future is not so much sort of, producing cures or even doing experiments on humans, but producing disease models that they can study to see kind of how they work and what may be possible to do with them. That's what I would expect them to be doing in the immediate future, but as I said, I'm not a researcher.
One of the things the president said yesterday, he kind of heralded a day with his executive order where science is essentially unshackled from what he called political agendas and ideology. Scientists are now free to do their jobs, he said. What's your reaction to that?
It's a little disingenuous, and I think he knows that it's a little disingenuous. I mean, from one perspective, science must always be constrained by moral principle. We don't for a moment think that researchers should be permitted to do whatever they want to do. We have all sorts of regulations that govern research in this country. So the notion that science would just pursue its aims without any moral constraints is a silly one. So that's my first reaction. The second is that science, the science itself always has moral agendas at work. It's not as if it's value-free in any way. There's always a moral agenda at work there, sometimes a good one, sometimes not maybe, but it's always there. And we haven't really thought very carefully about the whole modern scientific project if we suppose that it's entirely neutral with respect to moral questions. It's not. So these are always matters for political attention.
Dr. Mylander, I can hear some saying, you're a theologian. You should stay out of this debate. This is for scientists to discuss. How would you respond?
I thought I was a citizen, just like the scientists. We're all entitled to participate in these debates. We may bring whatever language or insight happens to work best for us to the discussion and see what happens with it. In my experience, scientists participating in these discussions are every bit as much moved by various types of agendas and moral interests as anybody else. So I think that's just that's a worry that I don't have.
Finally, then, with only about a minute here, the president began yesterday by saying, as a man of faith, he sees it as our primary obligation to care for one another. Why is what he has announced yesterday not caring for one another in the fullest sense?
Well, I think that when we care for each other, we do it as human beings, creatures of God who observe and respect certain kinds of moral limitations in what we do, even when we're trying to achieve good purposes. And so there are some things that we might do with good motives or praiseworthy motives, but which still can't be called care because they don't respect the kind of limits and constraints that human beings, who aren't gods, ought to operate under.
Dr. Gilbert Mailander is chairman of the Department of Theology at Valparaiso University in Valparaiso, Indiana. He's a member of the President's Council on Bioethics, and he's author and editor of several books, including Bioethics, A Primer for Christians. Dr. Mailander, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Folks, that's the third member of the President's Council on Bioethics that we've talked to in the past week. William Hurlbut, Robert George, and Dr. Gilbert Mailander. Please help us defend life from beginning to end by making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or you can donate online tonight. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Issues Etc. comment line, and we'll review an Ash Wednesday sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. That's next. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter, and we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Saying goodbye to a pro-life champion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Richard John Newhouse, an influential pro-life author and intellectual, passed away in January 2009 after a long bout with cancer. In the 1960s, Newhouse was a Lutheran pastor and a liberal activist who founded an organization of clergymen opposed to the Vietnam War. But his liberal activism ended promptly with the Roe v. Wade decision, which shocked him. His influential book, The Naked Public Square, called for greater religious influence in politics, and his widely read journal, First Things, consistently championed pro-life causes. Newhouse will be dearly missed.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.